Lord, in spirit and in truth, to be able to sing these songs of praise and be together to honor His name and to encourage and fellowship one with another. This is also, of course, a very special day, and we invite you back tonight. Alex will be giving the sermon, and then following our worship together, we'll go into the fellowship hall and say farewell as he is pretty well packed and ready to go. Lord willing, be leaving a week from tomorrow on February the 2nd for a two-year stay in Scotland. A lot of things I'd like to say. I'll be saying a few words tonight at that assembly, and so I won't go into all those details right now, but we hope that you've already prepared and set your schedule to be here tonight. Again, you don't really need to bring anything by the way of food. We're going to keep it simple. Have some cake and punch, maybe a few veggies. You just bring yourself and enjoy a few minutes of fellowship and be able to wish Alex well on his way as he begins his ministry over in Scotland. All right, let's talk about the vine and the branches today. This is the story that was just read for us just a few moments ago out of John chapter 15. I hope you have your Bible still open to that particular passage, because we're going to be looking at various verses as we go through this wonderful allegory. And that's what it is. It's an allegory. It's not a parable. Parables are not as concerned about the details as are allegories. Parables have a lot of details in them, and you can have a lot of analogies made about the things in the story of the parables, but sometimes the parables are best interpreted that you get the big picture. And sometimes the details in a parable are not necessarily important, not even connected to what Jesus is trying to say, that there's another meaning that needs to come out there. But that's not true with an allegory. An allegory is something of where you set up this comparison, you set up this analogy, and everything in the allegory stands for something else. And that's the case here with the story of the vine and the branches. And while you might look in your back of your Bibles, if it lists parables, sometimes those particular comments will put this story in there, and sometimes it won't. And my particular thinking is that it's not technically a parable. It's something more powerful than a parable. And I think the parables are powerful, all right? This is an allegory, and it is a wonderful story that you're going to see God, you're going to see Jesus, and you're going to see yourself. When you do that, then you will be picking up what I think the Lord wants us to pick up. We're going to break this up, and if you have your Sunday talk there, you'll notice that the outline is on page 3. Most of what's on the outline we're going to put up here on the overhead today, and just take a look at it. This is definitely a sermon that has some life application to it, but I wouldn't necessarily term it as a life application sermon. I like to do that on Sunday mornings and really talk about life and how to improve life and give you suggestions from the Scripture about how to do this and how to do that. But not every sermon fits into a life application mode. And so let's just take a look at this particular story today, learn from it what we can, and then, of course, make the application where necessary in your life. The first thing we're going to see here is that Jesus said that He is the true vine. There's a lot of people and a lot of ideologies out there that are claiming to be the way to live, claiming to be salvation, claiming to be a religion that can help you find meaning and value in life and all. Jesus comes right out here within this particular section in John chapter 15, and He says, "I am the true vine." And why would you want to be attached to any other vine other than the true one? Generally, when we look to make purchases, we want the best for our money. And if there's something that's ripshod or a second class or doesn't meet up or whatever, we generally don't buy it. We don't get involved in it. We say, why should I do that when I can have something that's better? Well, the same is true with our Lord. Don't get involved with anything else as far as your soul is concerned if it's not attached to Jesus Christ. Because He is that true vine. Others may come with their promises, but only in Christ do we find that our spiritual needs are going to be fulfilled. The Father endorsed Jesus. There are several places. I'm thinking back to His baptism in Matthew chapter 3. where God the Father endorsed Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him." Yeah, he didn't want to listen to anybody else. But truly, Jesus was better than the angels. He was better than the prophets. He was the very Son of God. God endorsed him as that. And he says, "I want you to listen to him." Now, God there didn't say Jesus was the true vine, but he might as well have said that. Because that was the great endorsement of the Father to the Son. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." That's John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way." And again, in a similar vein, he is the true vine. When the apostles preached the gospel, they preached Jesus Christ. They said, "There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved." I think the apostles believed Jesus was the true vine. Said, "There, you're not going to find salvation in any other name. You're not going to find it in anybody else. You're going to find it in Jesus." And so the apostles preached Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, "For this we labor and strive, because we fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." Truly, we have fixed our hope in God. We have fixed our hope in Christ because he is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. And so, yes, Jesus is that true vine. We need to be attached to him. And so, therefore, we need to abide in that vine. And I suppose if there's anything that I want you to take away from the lesson this morning, and I'm going to end with this in just a few minutes when the lesson is at the close, it's this fact. We need to be abiding, living, working, breathing, aspiring in, whatever you want to look at that, abiding in that vine. We need to be in Christ. Time does not permit for me to look at all of the fabulous blessings that come from being in Christ, but I've listed here four on the screen and in your outline that you have there. Truly, we have redemption and forgiveness in Christ. He bought us back. His blood has paid the price for our sinful nature. It has paid the price for our forgiveness. Something that we could not pay ourselves, Jesus paid for us. And that's why we have been redeemed. We've been bought back, that we can have that relationship with God once again by Jesus. And so forgiveness of our sins is in him. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 13, Paul said, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." One of the translations there within that particular verse uses the word transplanted. And the idea is that we were in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and like we would transplant a plant, we have been picked up from one kingdom and put into another. And then that kingdom, that new kingdom, we find redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We find spiritual maturity in Christ. Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 28, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we might present every man complete in Christ." You want to be a complete person? You want to be a better father, a better mother, a better husband, a better wife, whatever it might be, a better worker? It doesn't make a difference what you plug in there. If you want to be that complete person, you'll only get there by being in Christ and doing it his way. That's why we need to abide in the vine. In Colossians 2 and verse 5, we find that good discipline and stability are found in Christ. So many times the world and those of the world don't know how to react to things going about us, and they get uptight about this and worry about that, and maybe you're there, I don't know. But truly, good discipline and stability, Paul says, are found in Christ. When we have the wonderful blessings and assurances of the Lord, then we can handle those ups and downs of life a whole lot better than someone who does not. We were baptized into Christ. That's how we put on Christ. And because of that, every spiritual blessing is at our disposal. We don't always use them. We kind of think, "Oh, I'll figure this out on my own," or "just give me enough time and I'll work this out." When Jesus said here through the Apostle Paul, every spiritual blessing is yours. It is yours for the taking in Christ. Therefore, don't worry and don't fret and don't be upset and don't needlessly suffer. he says, because every spiritual blessing is at your disposal. You know, with all of that, and again, I'm just beginning the list, that truly it makes sense to abide in the vine. And that's what the Lord said right there in John chapter 15. He said, abide in me. That's abiding in the true vine. And truly, you'll have all of these things working for you. Well, the second thing that I want to talk about that we find in this analogy is the branches. Here, again, Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and as we go down through here, we see that we are the branches. We, in this analogy, this allegory, are to be attached to the vine as a branch. And one of the first things we want to realize is that as a branch, apart from the vine, we can't do anything. Now, that sounds pretty drastic, but I mean, you think about it in life. Any time that you've gone through and pruned a bush or a tree or a flower, and you set aside those branches and those prunings away from the vine, what happens to those prunings? What happens to those branches? Well, they die, and we know that, and we realize that they're not going to stay alive very long. Oh, you may cut it off, and for a few hours it'll look good, and it may seem to have a little life in it, but the longer you let it lay there, then sooner or later it will die. And we take this kind of thing for granted. The same thing is true spiritually. If we're not connected to the vine as a branch, in due time we'll die. Every now and then, and I don't think it's as popular as it used to be, and I'm glad, people used to say this old thing, Jesus yes, but the church no. And the point is, if you're not with the church and you're not attached as Jesus wants you attached through his church and through his body, being a member of his body, the church, then you're going to be a branch out there that sooner or later is going to spiritually die. It just doesn't work. We know it doesn't work in life. It doesn't work spiritually as well. And so as a branch, we need to make sure that we're attached to the vine, that we're a Christian, that we're a person that, yes, that we are in Christ and that we are attached to him, because by ourselves, we can do nothing. But secondly, there are, again, great blessings to being a branch, and that is bearing fruit. Fruit is a wonderful thing used for so many good things, and I've got a lot of things to say here about fruit. In fact, that's one of the main sections of the lesson that we'll get to here in a minute. But, you know, one of the things that a branch does is just that. It bears fruit. Sometimes that fruit is, as we know, for the eating. Sometimes it's for beauty. Sometimes it's for medicinal purposes. There's a lot of things in the physical world that branches bring forth, and they're good for a lot of things. And it's true in the spiritual world as well, that as a branch that we can bear fruit. We can have fruit in our life that we wouldn't have any other way unless we're a branch attached to the vine. Truly our prayers are being answered by God when we are attached to the vine. We have a deepening love for Christ when we are attached to the vine. Truly we are to have a greater joy about life itself when we're attached to the vine. We are to have a greater joy for other believers here, Jesus said in chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, because we're a branch that's attached to the vine. Wow. And you know what? I kind of skipped the first thing up there in fruit production and pruning, because pruning is something we don't always like to talk about. But you know what? That's what the vine dresser does. He prunes. And that's all right, because pruning is always a good thing. Every time that I have pruned a tree or pruned a shrub or whatever, it grows back even bigger, grows back even better. You know, one of the interesting things that I learned the last time we were out at Yellowstone National Park was of the blessings that are in the fire. You know, we would drive through Yellowstone National Park and we'd see sections and hills. It's just gorgeous, green, beautiful, solid trees everywhere. And then you'd go over a hill or around a turn and all of a sudden you'd see this burned out section. And it'd be for like the next mile or so. It was ugly. It was terrible. But we came to find out that while those sections of that forest were burning, that all of those seed-holding pods that were on those trees burst. And the seeds went into the ground. And not only did that one tree go away, but by the fire, it spawned all kinds of other trees yet to grow. there was good that came out of the bad. And sure enough, there were sections of the forest that we would drive through and we would see all these burnt tree trunks with no branches, and it was ugly. But you know what? There was all kinds of little trees growing along the ground. And truly that forest was going to come back even stronger than what it was before. I'd like to go back in about 5 or 10 years if the Lord tarries and I got a little money in my pocket and see what that forest looks like, because pruning can be a good thing. And so, yes, that's part of being a branch. You're going to be pruned from time to time. So let's talk about that for a little bit as we move on to the third main item, in that in this allegory, the vine dresser is God. That's exactly what Jesus says there. Again, chapter 15, verse 1, he says, "My Father is the vine keeper," or the vine dresser. And truly, he is the one who prunes, he is the one who purges, he is the one who is always working on the branches. One commentator said, as much as we dislike pruning, as much as we dislike it when we're disciplined, as much as we dislike it when things aren't going our way and our sin gets pointed out in our life, he said, you're never closer to God than when he prunes you. Think about that. I think there's some wisdom there. As much as we dislike that process for somebody telling us that we need to change our life, or maybe something that I say in a sermon or a class that really hits home and we just don't really want to accept that, you know, it could very well be that God is working through that individual to prune you. And God is very close and he wants you to grow and he wants you to mature. And he says, if you're going to be all that I want you to be, we've got to cut this little bit out and we've got to change this and we've got to alter that. And truly it is the pruning process. Pruning is done by the Word of God. Truly it is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to distinguish between the thoughts and of the mind and the heart and joints and marrow. Truly it is the Word of God who does that pruning. And sometimes it's God's very discipline through other things that happen that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 12, that God will use those disciplining times to prune us and make us what we ought to be. That's what the vine dresser does. God's just doing his job for us when he prunes us. But pruning is a wonderful thing because it brings forth what we want to do and what to have. And again, that's fruit. You know, there's an interesting progression here if you turn there to John 15 about this spiritual pruning. Notice what he says in John 15 and verse 2 beginning. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. All right, there's where you start. You don't bear any fruit, all right? He says he takes that away. But you know what? If you stay attached to the vine, things change, things happen. Watch what he says now in the latter part of verse 2. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it bears more fruit. Well, it's amazing. In this one verse, we've gone to no fruit, to fruit, and now to more fruit. But guess what? It gets even better. Go down to verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Wow. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, you go from no fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit. And we'll sit back and say, hey, that's where I want to be. I want to be right on that upward climb. I want to be in that much fruit category. Well, I do too. You know how you get there? You let God prune you. You handle that discipline. You swallow it with your pride and say, you know what? I can improve. I can do better. I can change. And there's no reason to get mad or upset by the one who shared those truths, because they're just working for God. They're there to try to help you to be that better person and to help you grow in ways that maybe you don't want to grow. And so just as we prune trees and flowers and bushes and shrubs and all of that, and they come back even stronger, that's what God wants to do with you. And that's why he prunes as the vine dresser. Finally this morning, the fruit. Yeah, God talks about fruit. And we've already discussed it too a little bit here, but let's talk about fruit in a way that we won't put ourselves on a guilt trip, because there might be some of you sitting out there saying, well, I know all these people and they've got all this fruit and all that fruit and I just can't do much, or I'm not doing much, or whatever. hang on just a little bit here. First of all, fruit is not results. I don't believe fruits are necessarily results. Results are things that humans produce by hard work. And the credit goes to the person who did it. Now, there's a lot of folks that are working hard out there, but sometimes they're working hard just to promote themselves. Just to promote, let's say, wow, do I look good. You know, I love to go over there to James chapter 2, where James talks about faith and works. And he says, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. James didn't say to show our works by our works. And a lot of folks are out there as branches and displaying all their fruit and saying, look how good I am. What a great branch I am. Wrong attitude. James says we're not supposed to display our works by our works. We're supposed to display our faith by our works. And that's what he says I'm going to do. I'll show you my faith by my works. And so true fruit bearing, as we go back now to John chapter 15, is not always determined by the amount of works that you have. It's determined by the spiritual good that God can work through you. And that becomes our fruit. There are all different kinds of wonderful fruit bearing in the kingdom. Colossians 1 and verse 10, notice what Paul says there. He says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. That would include soul winning. Truly, when you share the gospel, you are producing fruit for God. You are engaged in a very good work. When you take someone who is a new or even old Christian and you teach them the way of God more perfectly, you are being engaged in a very good work and you are bearing fruit. Maybe you're serving in such a way that not everybody sees it, but God knows, and that you're helping out in so many different ways. As we like to say, behind the scenes, you're bearing fruit for God. Maybe you're out there and trying to be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent. You're bearing fruit for God. Anything that God would deem as a good work, anything that He would want you to be doing as a Christian, if you do it, you are bearing fruit. And truly, He gets the glory with all of that. Things get better when you do things God's way. And so truly, Paul says that you grow within Him in every respect, in every good work, you're bearing fruit. In Titus 3, in verse 14, he says, let our people learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Have you met a pressing need in somebody's life? Maybe it was something as simple as a ride to the doctor. Maybe it was a help in scooping snow. Whatever it might be, that you helped meet a pressing need in their life, that you bore fruit for God. And hopefully you did it in that particular manner, that you weren't out to get the credit. You were out there to please them. You were out there to help them to ease their burden. And then when you have that attitude, God gets the glory. And truly you bear the fruit just as He wants you to bear it. Looking over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, I kind of hesitate just a little bit here that this isn't necessarily our fruit. This is the Spirit's fruit. You know, we are the tabernacle, we are the sanctuary. Great song, great thought there, James, before that song. We are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. And truly with that Spirit living within us, that Spirit wants to bear fruit. There's things that the Spirit wants to do through you that His will might be accomplished. And it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, the nine fruits, or the nine aspirations of the fruit of the Spirit. And truly, that's the kind of fruit the Spirit wants to be working in your life if you allow Him, by being the kind of person that you need to be. And finally then, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Hebrews writer says, through Him. Notice that, through Him. It's not our works that are on display here. It's Jesus working through our life. That's where we get this wonderful fruit as branches. He says, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Yeah, it's the idea that as we bear fruit, we give thanks to His name. We give thanks to how great God is and what He's doing through our life and how it's great to be attached to the vine. One last thing. I said I'd come back to this idea of being a branch. The important thing about being a branch is to remain in the vine. And it's important to know that the fruit you bear is not for you. Have you ever thought about an apple tree? Does an apple tree consume its own apples? We say, oh, no, that's silly. Yeah, does a pear tree consume its own pears? No, there's ever somebody else. You know, does a grapevine consume its own grapes for itself? Whatever these trees produce, it's for someone else. It's for their good, not the good of the tree or the good of the vine. Truly, that's the way it should be with our Christian service. It's not about us. It's not about whether or not we look good or whether our fruit is out there so that everybody can see it. Our fruit is not for our own good. Our fruit is for somebody else. So many times I've preached sermons and classes, and I'll be honest with you, at times I think, boy, that was lousy, you know. Just can't hit a home run every time, at least in my own mind. And I'll have you good brethren come up to me and say, I needed to hear that. That's what I needed today. You were preaching for me, and I'm encouraged by that lesson. Or this has been going on in my life, which I didn't have any clue about, and you said the lesson today really helped you. And I get to thinking, I need not be so hard on myself if I don't feel so good about a sermon or lesson, because maybe the fruit isn't for me. Maybe it's for you. And truly, as you go out there and serve, and maybe you might have the attitude, well, nobody knows that I'm doing this, and nobody pats me on the back, and nobody comes up and say, good job with that. That's okay. You may be doing exactly what God wants you to do as a branch, bearing fruit for somebody else's good. Your fruit's for somebody else. And truly, the fruit that you can take will be that from other people's lives. And so, don't stop serving. Don't stop working. Because that fruit that you're bringing and bearing because you're a branch that's attached to the vine will be for somebody else's good. Whether you get that direct reflex or that direct thanks about it or not, God will be glorified, His will be done, and fruit will be there for the taking. Well, as we bring it to a close then, the secret is not to try harder. I've been caught up into that so many times, probably still am, if I'd be honest, and maybe you are too, that we look at the Christian life and we say, oh, I got to be doing this and I got to be doing that, and we're right. We know what the Bible says about service and evangelism and sharing our faith and staying away from sin. I mean, we've been down that road. We know what the book says. And we say, I've just got to try harder. I just got to do harder. And maybe we do. Now, maybe we're not putting forth the effort we should. Do you know what the real secret is to producing the fruit that we really want? And I think that's what we're talking about when we're talking about sharing our faith and serving others and doing what God wants us to do. What we're saying is, I want to bear fruit. I want to be productive for God as I'm attached to the vine so that others can benefit. The secret is not necessarily to try harder. The secret is to stay attached to the vine. That's what he says. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But he says there in the text, if you'll abide in me, you'll bear what? Much fruit. The key is to live like Jesus. The key is to stay attached to the vine and find out what he do with his life. How was he so intrinsically attached to the Father that he went about doing good and had so much fruit, so much good? Yeah, if I could master that, then fruit would be no problem. And really, fruit is never a problem when you're attached to the vine. When you're being that good branch and you're trying to stay in Jesus and do what he wants you to do, the fruit will be just that. It won't be no fruit. It won't be fruit. It won't be more fruit. It'll be much fruit because you're attached to the vine. Are you attached to the vine this morning? Truly, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And branches that do not bear fruit because they're not attached to me are collected and burned. That means they lose their soul eternally. And so as we offer heaven's invitation with the song that's been selected here, truly ask yourself, are you attached to the vine? Are you there so that you can bear much fruit for Him? If not, by becoming a Christian, you attach yourself to the vine and God will begin to prune you so that you can be even more fruitful. Do you need to come this morning for whatever reason to give your life to the Lord, or maybe as a child of God to reattach yourself to the vine so you can bear more fruit? The invitation's for you. Come now while we stand and while we sing.